In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon texts are both Numbers 21 and John chapter 3. Brothers and sisters in Christ, when you think of John chapter 3, what do you think of? Perhaps it's the most famous passage, the gospel in a nutshell, John 3:16. Every Christian learns by heart at a very early age, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We know this by heart. We've learned it. However, fewer Christians know the verses just before by heart. Verses 14 and 15. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Here, Jesus recalls the event from our Old Testament reading. It's a bit horrific, really. The Israelites became impatient, and so they spoke against Moses, and in so doing, they also spoke against God. They spoke saying, "There is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless bread." The Lord hears their complaint, and rather than giving a fish, he gave a serpent. In fact, he gave many serpents, and they bit the people so that many people of Israel died. They had it coming. They had sinned against the Lord. And the wages of sin is death. And death did its work. So the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he will take away these serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. In their dying, their suffering, their helplessness, their fear, they cried out to the Lord by going to his prophet and begging him to pray. Prayer is no light thing. And Moses has been put there as the prophet to do this very thing. Now notice how the Lord does not say, "First, find out if they're really, really sorry and have them work their way back into my good standing." No, none of that. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent, set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live." So Moses did. He made the bronze serpent, he set it on the pole. Jesus says in John chapter 3, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." The bronze serpent is the type, but Jesus is the reality. Jesus is the bronze serpent. Or better yet, the bronze serpent is Jesus. For by looking at the serpent lifted up on the pole, the Israelites were saved. And you, by looking at the one who is high and lifted up for you, by looking at Jesus there upon the cross, by believing in him, you are saved. Now, every Christian is used to crosses in church. But very few, I think, would approve of a serpent on a pole. Can you imagine it looking at such a hideous sight as a dead snake? And yet, it was the abomination of the cross. A bruised, a beaten, a bloody Jesus. Something far more horrendous than a snake on a crossbar that became the church's symbol of life. This, by the way, is the reason our crosses are to have the body of Christ upon them. An empty cross has never saved anyone. It's just another instrument of torture. But just as Moses lifted up the serpent, And whoever looked at it would be saved, just as the Son of Man also was lifted up, that whoever believes in him would have eternal life. So do we lift our eyes to the lifeless body of the crucified Christ. There for you. Here upon the cross, the very body of Jesus, the one who is high and lifted up, there lies our salvation. There is our medicine of immortality, our deliverance from death, and our guarantee of everlasting life. The crucifix, the cross with Jesus' body on it, is a confession of faith that God has sacrificed himself for us. He has loved us unto death, even death upon the cross. He was high and lifted up for our salvation. And everyone who looks to Jesus, everyone who believes in him, has eternal life, and God will raise them up on the last day. That's what St. Paul meant and what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. This is the conversation into which everyone's favorite Bible verse comes. And now it ought to be clear that in John 3:16, our Lord isn't writing a Hallmark card. He's not going on about the quantity or the depth of God's love like some cheesy country song. And he's not saying, well, God felt a certain way. He felt warm and fuzzy about you. He loved you. And so he sent Jesus. No, that's not it at all. You are by nature, because of your sin, an enemy of God. You are dead in your sin. Rather, Jesus is simply explaining to Nicodemus in John chapter 3 how God loved the world. That is, he loved the world in this way, by giving his own son into death on our behalf, on behalf of those who hate him. He's talking about the cross, how Barabbas goes free and the eternal Son of the Father gets bound, and how the sinless one becomes sin for us, how he suffers the penalty for sin in our place, and how the Creator subjects himself to a creation gone awry. This is how God loved the world. He gave his own Son into death on the cross for us. John 3:16 is about his death. It's all about Jesus being high and lifted up for you, just like the bronze serpent, so that you who look to Jesus in faith shall not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus' death is how God loved the world. It's how he makes it his again. Our world is flooded with serpents. Death reigns among us. It takes our wives, it takes our husbands, it takes our fathers and mothers, even our very children from us. We have all been bitten. And some are going quicker than others. Sadly, we'll have had two saints' funerals this week alone. For all of us, the effects are there. A weary eye, a limp leg, a bad back, the flu. And on top of it all, there's depression and loneliness, fear and regret. And we can't do anything to stop it. We are tired. We are beaten. We just don't have it in us to stop the pain. As St. Paul says, and you are dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince and power of this world, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of our body and mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he has loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us together alive with Christ. It is by grace that you have been saved. You are dead, but God, because of his great love with which he has loved us, made us alive in Christ. God loved the world in this way, that he gave his only Son into death upon the cross for you, and that Jesus was high and lifted up for you, so that you who have been bitten by the serpent of sin may look to him like the Israelites of old and may not perish, but may have eternal life. You see, from the blessed cross, he has delivered his salvation to the Israelites of old by gazing upon the serpent, to us, with our eyes fixed upon Christ's body, the author and perfecter of our faith, by the waters of holy baptism, by the preaching of Christ crucified here in our midst, by his own body and blood given and shed for us for the forgiveness of all our sins. The cross is everything. And everything is changed by the cross. Receive this holy cross at baptism. Be joined to that cross at this supper, his supper. And then we too are changed forever by the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was high and lifted up upon it for you and for your salvation. Death's reign is temporary. Its powerful grip is lightened each and every day. Soon we will hear that joyous Easter refrain. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, grave, where is your sting? Our Lord Jesus has mounted the cross and brought death to death. So with St. Paul, we preached Christ crucified. We fix our eyes upon the crucified God, our bronze serpent. More than that, we remain ourselves daily in his love by making the sign of the cross and remembering whose we are. Because it's the cross that tells us better than anything else who God is, what he has done for us. The Lord had Moses put on that pole the very thing that caused death, a serpent. So our Lord put upon the cross the very thing that caused death, sin. St. Paul says, "For our sake he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." And so we are. For God loved the world in this way, that he gave his only Son, that you who believe in him may have eternal life. In Jesus' name. Amen.